All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel. Dr. Smith sends his regards, and Miss Betty as well. Dr. Smith's going to be here with us on a Sunday in a few weeks. I don't remember exactly what Sunday it is, but it's in August, what weekend is that? I don't know. 20 what? 7th? All right, so, oh man, yeah, no, that's right. okay, that'll work. Never mind. Have you ever been going through life and your heart just quit beating? Have you ever had that happen to you? That just happened to me. But anyway, no, that's good. Okay, I just about messed up again. But anyway, he'll be with us on a Sunday. And if I'm not mistaken, Orioles are in town that weekend too. I'm not 100% sure. Huh? Yeah, what a coinky-dink that is, huh? Yeah. It's amazing how these things just work out for the people of the Lord. You know what I mean? Anyway, all right. Well, let's, are you in Luke? Are you in the 23rd chapter? Okay, turn to chapter 23, please. I didn't tell you what chapter to turn to. Well, they're all good. We could read any of them, but let's specifically go with chapter 23. All right, I want you to begin reading. I want you to follow me, please. In verse 26, I think. Verse 23. Let's go back to verse 23. All right, so 23, let's start here in verse 23. It says, "And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be," what's the next word? Crucified. Crucified. Remember, John told us in his prologue to his book, chapter 1, that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so here is a verse that tells us that the people cried with loud voices and turned against the Savior. And they cried for him to be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Now, who's the one that was released? Barabbas, exactly right. And you remember I've taught you that that in Hebrew, Bar, B-A-R, means the son of. All right, so get the rest of the name there. Bar Abbas. What does Abbas mean? Father, yes. So Barabbas was named son of the father. And isn't it interesting that the son of the father is set free and the son of man is crucified? That's amazing, isn't it? What a picture. And I wonder whatever happened to Barabbas. You ever wonder that? Can't wait to get to heaven to find out. Can't wait. All right, reading on. In verse 26, it says, "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian," so he was from Africa, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never, which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. So the Lord Jesus took them all the way down to the tribulation period, all the way down to the tribulation period. If you remember in the book of the Revelation, almost the same words are used, where the people cry, they hide themselves in the dens and the caves during the tribulation period because of the wrath and judgment of God. And they cry for the rocks to fall on them so that they don't have to face the judgment of the Lord. And so he says, don't weep for me. You better weep for yourselves and for your children, because, man, is it going to get rough. Well, it's pretty rough right now, don't you think? But as bad as this is, hey, it's going to get a whole lot worse. So thank the Lord, if you're saved, we get taken out before it starts. Amen. I'm looking forward to that, too. You know that old song, Heaven's Looking Sweeter All the Time? Boy, that's true, isn't it? Amen. That's true. All right, pick it up now in verse 31. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Now, I want you to see that little, there's one little word in verse 33 that I want to develop the message around this morning. And that one little word is the word there. There. What an amazing little word there is. And I want us to think about that word in relation to our Savior being offered as a sacrifice for our sin. Where? There. Right there. Right there. It's in the Bible. There. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts this morning. Father, I do not know the spiritual condition of every person in this room, but I know that you know. You know who's saved and who's not. You know the spiritual condition of each and every person. So, Father, I ask you to speak to our hearts today. And if there is someone in this room who is not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be the day that they make that decision to put their faith and trust in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, Father, speak to our hearts today. And may the Lord Jesus be lifted up and exalted in our midst. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. You know, the Bible never ceases in its wonder to be able to state tremendous truths in such few words. The Bible is very distinct. It is very to the point. When the Bible says something, you don't normally have to sit around with a dictionary to figure out what's being said. No, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. It's not difficult, I don't think, not difficult at all for us to understand the Word of God. It's very simple. And the Bible says in short, terse phrases what others try to say in hundreds of volumes. Our texting case is a point. There, they crucified him. There. You say, well, where'd they do that? There. There. And I'm going to explain to you what there is in the message this morning. I believe that what happened at Calvary is the focal point of all history. You see, the Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there. Where'd they crucify him? On Mount Calvary. Do you remember when we were studying the book of Genesis in chapter 22 that the Lord God spoke to Abraham and told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and to go to a place, and he said, I will show you when you get there. Go to a place. And so he traveled a 3 days journey, not four, not six, not eight, not 10, 3 days, the number of completion. And the Bible says that on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and behold, there was the place. Isn't that amazing? Abraham offered his son, Isaac, his only son, Isaac, on Mount Calvary. On Calvary, the exact same spot where Luke tells us that the Lord Jesus was crucified. Probably the greatest event that has ever happened in all of human history, and the Word of God tells us about it in the simplest of terms. There they crucified him. Simple, simple, easy. Each word of that little phrase just clearly tells us the wonderful mission that our Savior had when he went to the cross. There. Where is there? Mount Calvary. Where is Calvary? Well, that is in picture the exact place where God determined, even before the foundation of the world, that his Son, the Redeemer, the promised seed of Adam, would go and offer his life for our sin. Folks, it was not an accident that he was crucified on Mount Calvary. It was not an accident at all. God knew exactly what he was doing in fulfillment to the scriptures, the Word of God. Do you remember over in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll read it. You don't have to turn to it, but I'm going to read it to make sure I don't miss anything. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, the Bible says, Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Did you see that? According to Scripture. And so all the way, going all the way back to the beginning, when Adam sinned against God and became a sinner, and a sinner must have a Savior, God promised that Savior to Adam. And now all these years go by, and you have 2,000 years of history from Adam to Noah. And then after the flood, you have about 100 years, and then Abraham comes on the scene. And God promises Abraham that his seed would would bring the Redeemer into this world. His seed would be the fulfillment. And so in picture form, God tells Abraham, now you take your son, your only son, and you offer him as a sacrifice for sin. And I'm sure that Abraham scratched his head and said, but Lord, you said that my seed would be the seed of choice, and that the Redeemer would come. And now you want me to crucify him? You want me to kill him on an altar? You want me to offer him as a sacrifice for sin? And God said, yes. And so here they're walking along, Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac's a teenage boy. He has certainly a lot more strength than his 120-year-old father. And he looks over and says, Dad, where are we going? We said, son, we're going right up there. See that mountain? And so they walk up, and he says, okay, Lord, Dad, I've got the fire here in the bucket, and I've got the wood on my back. Did you get that picture? The wood on his back. When they nailed our Savior to the tree, what was on his back? The cross. And he said, we have the wood, we have the fire. But Dad, where's the lamb? And what did Abraham say? The Lord himself shall provide a lamb. The Lord himself. And folks, that's what verse 33 is all about. There, on the same mountain, on Mount Calvary, God provided himself in the form of his son, and there they crucified him. Now, this crucifixion took place on Mount Calvary. There is where Jesus died, situated just outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the old city. Just outside the city, when we go to Israel in October, you'll be able to stand, if I can persuade the guide to take us there, you'll be able to stand just inside the gate. Now, that gate's wide open now, but you can stand just inside the gate, and you can look about as far, let's see, probably about as far as it is from here, oh, I would say probably just up to the gym building. And you can just look through that little opening in that gate and see Mount Calvary. In Latin, it's called Calvary. In Hebrew, it's called Golgotha. Golgotha means the place of the skull. And even today, when you're standing back and you're looking through that gate at Mount Calvary, you can see in the stones right under where the cross would have been, you can see what even still today looks like a skull. The place of the skull. And folks, it's there that they crucified our Savior. It's funny that the Arabs have built a bus station there, right in front of Golgotha, right in front of it. They built a bus station, and there is just around from Golgotha the Garden Tomb where the Lord Jesus was buried. And so when you come in to see all of that, they take you up first and put you in a little set of bleachers where you're right there. You're looking right there at Mount Calvary. You're able to sit right there and see the skull. But then they brought all these buses in there, and all you hear is the sound of buses and horns blowing, And it's so loud most of the time. It's a whole lot better now than it used to be. I can tell you that. I don't know why, but it's a whole lot better now than it used to be. Maybe because of COVID. I don't know why, but it's better now. But anyway, noise. And it means nothing to them. Calvary means nothing to them. And so they make it just as filthy as it can be, just as dirty as it can be, just as loud as it can be, but they still can't cover up what happened there. Amen. Cannot do it. No matter how hard they try, they cannot do it. There, they crucified him. This hill is just a little rounded, I guess I should say, kind of bald looking. Careful. Careful. I thought I'd say it before you did. Little bald looking. Bald. Y'all got that? Bald looking. You mean that's all it took? A little place where when you stand back and look at it, though, your heart melts. Because there is where they crucified our Savior. And I'm telling you, folks, no matter how many times you see it, it is an eerie looking sight as you look through that gate and realize what you're looking at. There they crucified him. There. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you about there. What happened there? There. Well, first thing I want you to notice is this. There is where God demonstrated his love. There. We are told in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, he didn't say, now here's what I want. I want all of you to practice good works, and then when you get to a certain spot, no, he didn't say that, did he? No, while we were yet sinners. I don't know about you, but I wasn't looking for God when God was looking for me. I wanted nothing to do with him. The only reason that I went to church was because the pastor came to visit us and I was rude to him. And I went upstairs and my mother was crying. I guess he told on me as he went out. And I went upstairs to face the music. I knew I was going to have to eventually. So I went upstairs to face the music. And my mother said, as she's sitting at the dinner table crying, she said, "You're going to go to hell and you don't care." Well, I can handle about anything, but my mother crying, I could not handle. And I said, "Oh, Mom, don't cry." She said, "But you just don't care about your soul, and I don't understand that. How could you not care about your eternal soul?" And I said, "Mom, if you'll just quit crying, I'll go to church with you sometime." Well, I meant, you know, like in 50, 60 years. I mean, that's what I meant. But the next Sunday morning, now this was on a Tuesday, they had visitation on Tuesday. And so the next Sunday morning at about 8 o'clock, "Come on, time, get up, get up, get up." And I said, "Go away. Come on, we got to go to church." "No, go away. I said I'd go to church with you sometime." But she wouldn't stop. She would still be knocking at that door if I had not gotten up. She'd still be there knocking at that door. And I knew that. So I got up and I said, "All right, I'm up." And I took a shower and we all went to church. And I didn't like it. I've told you the story. I blamed my mother for telling that preacher all my sins, because he preached on every one of them that morning. All of them. I mean, you could have taken the checklist and marked them off. And I was so upset. And I said, I'll never go back. Well, the next week I went back. I wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for me. And he just kept dealing and working and speaking. And that's the way the Lord works. Why does he do that? I'll tell you why he does that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why the Lord was crucified there on Mount Calvary, because he loves you. He loves you. You see, even when you were yet in your sin, he loved you. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, John said, herein is love. Not that we loved God. I didn't love the Lord before I got saved. I didn't love the Lord, but that's what and John knew that. He said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You say, Pastor, what is propitiation? Well, it's a big, hard, long word, and it's difficult for hillbillies to say it. It really is. But here's what it means. Atonement. God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our atonement. Now, folks, take that word, atonement, all right? Now, you'd be looking at it this way, all right? So you got A-T, you with me? And then you got O-N-E, at one, meant with. You see that? All right, if Pastor Holbrook and I get into an argument, and he gets mad at me and I get mad at him, and our fellowship is hurt, it's broken. And a few days go by and he doesn't text me one time. He doesn't come into my office to see me and update me. And I don't go in his. I'm mad, he's mad. And so finally, we walk out in the hall together and we're both standing there, and I look at him and he looks at me, and together, simultaneously, we both say, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And he says, I forgive you. Do you forgive me? And I said, yeah, I forgive you too. Are we good? Yep. So we are now at one with each other. All right? The offense is gone. We are at one with each other. And you see, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there he hangs on that cross, and God takes your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world and places that sin upon him, his Son. And Jesus pays our sin debt. And now when I trust Jesus as my Savior, because I can't trust me. I can't trust this church. I love the Church of the Open Door. My personal opinion is Church of the Open Door is the greatest church in America. I love it. But this church can't save you. I love to watch people get baptized, but that doesn't save you. I love it when folks walk down the aisles of this church and take one of the staff by the hand and say, I want to join the fellowship of the Church of the Open Door. Hallelujah. Amen. The more the merrier. But I'll tell you this, Church membership cannot, will not save you. It can't. It didn't die for you. This church didn't die for you. That baptistry didn't die for you. Hey, folks, don't forget, the wages of sin is what? Jesus died for you. So there is where we see what God is. And God is love. And my friend, I'm telling you, he loves you. Secondly, I got to hurry. There is where we learn what salvation is all about. There. That's where we learn what salvation's all about. I don't know if there is a subject anywhere that is so confusing to so many people. And it's so simple to understand. I've told you before that if you go down to the, well, wouldn't do you good to go down tomorrow. Ain't nobody down there. If you were to go to the grocery store, any of them, stand out front of the grocery store and ask 10 people when they walk by you, excuse me, do you know how to get to heaven? You'd probably get 10 different answers. You'd probably get 10 different answers. I mean, the devil has come in and just absolutely confused the matter of salvation, yet salvation is very clear. Now, what do we learn here? There, at Mount Calvary, there they crucified him. There. And that it is at Calvary where we see what salvation really is. And folks, salvation is by no other means than by the way of the cross. Don't you think if God had a way to save you and me, don't you think that God would have spared his own son and said, here, let's do this instead so my son doesn't have to suffer? I've only got one son, and I'll tell you right now, I couldn't give my son to die for any of you as much as I love you. I couldn't give my son to die for you. I've thought that. I've thought about that. I mean, I've actually sat and thought about that. I love you, church. I love you with all my heart. My goodness, I wouldn't be here if I didn't. But I could not give my son to die in your place. But God did. And don't forget, God did it while we were yet sinners. Thursday afternoon, I went out of the room. I went back to my room. It was about 4 in the afternoon. And I went out of my room, and there was one of the ladies that cleans the rooms. And when I walked out of the room, she said, "Do you want service today? Do you want your room cleaned? Do you want service?" And I turned around and I said, "Oh, you speak English?" And she said, "Yes," and giggled. Because nobody else did. Nobody. So I asked one question with one of them, and she said, "Wait a minute." And she pulls up this app on her phone, hands it to me, like she wanted me to type my question in. So I typed my question in for her, and she looked at it, and then she typed the answer back and turned it around and answered my question. It translates from English into Spanish and then Spanish into English. Pretty cool, huh? But anyway, this lady said, yes, and she giggled. She said, "I speak English." And I said, "Well, ma'am, let me ask you a question here. I said, If you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And she said, oh, no. She said, I don't know for sure. And I said, well, has anybody ever taken a Bible and showed you how you could know you're going to heaven? Oh, no, nobody ever has. And I said, well, could I do that for you? And she said, sure. So I said, stand right here. Don't move. So I pulled my key out of my pocket. I'd already shut the door. Pulled my key out of my pocket, swiped it, went in, got my Bible, came back out, and showed her the plan of salvation. And I said, now, isn't that simple? She said, yes. She said, but what do I have to do? You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. Well, surely I got to do something. All you got to do is believe. And I said, do you believe that Jesus died for you? Yes. I said, do you believe that when he died on that cross, they buried him in a borrowed tomb? Yes. I said, do you believe that on the third day he resurrected and is alive as our Savior? She said, yes. I said, ma'am, he did that for you. If there was nobody else on the planet that believed that, you were the only one, he still would have done it because he loves you. Oh, tears were streaming down her face, and she said, I've never heard anything like that. She said, where I grew up, it's always, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to work your way. You got to go through these sacraments and do all this other stuff. I said, no, ma'am, it's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus did. Amen. And there on Calvary, there they crucified him. And he shed his precious blood. He is the way of salvation. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. You got to come through Jesus. Then quickly, there is where we see what sin is. There. Folks, I don't know that any of us has a full understanding of what it's like to be crucified. I just don't know that any of us fully understand that. There are so many ways to take a life. So many ways. I mean, you can put someone before a firing squad. You can bind them and throw them in a river. You can take clubs and beat them to death. You can take stones and stone them to death. But all the way back here in the beginning, God knew. God knew. Think about this now. All the way back here in the beginning, God knew that in 4,000 years, the civilization that would be controlling mankind, the Romans, would crucify their criminals. God knew that. Isn't that amazing? So many different ways. But yet, God knew. And so what did he say? Well, back here in the law under Moses, he said, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. What was that cross made out of? A tree. Isn't that something? I mean, you think this just happened? No. It was all by design. It was all by design. Why did Jesus have to die and shed his blood? Because the wages of sin is death. That's why we do not really see what sin is until we see Jesus on the cross. You see, he had no sin of his own. Yet, he is on the cross of Calvary, suffering and paying the awful, horrible price for sin. And God took your sin, my sin, sins of the whole world, placed them upon his Son, and there Jesus paid the penalty that we all owe. There Jesus died. Folks, he had no sin of his own. Think about that. But yet he died. The wages of sin is death. So technically, if Jesus had no sin, he would have lived forever, right? You say, well, why didn't he? Because when he was on that cross, God took our sins and placed them on him, and he paid our debt. That's amazing to me. I can't tell you how many times in 28 years, I can't tell you how many times our family, or Karen and I, have gone to a restaurant here in Westminster and sometimes in Hanover, and we'll sit down to eat, order, sit down, they'll bring the meal, we'll eat it. And then we're done, and a lady comes over and says, would you like dessert? And we say, no, well, I'd like it, but I'm not going to get it. But I'd like it. Can I just look at the pictures and, you know, do you charge me for looking at the pictures? And no, we don't charge for that. So, ooh, that looks good, doesn't it? And she'll say, well, do you want something? No, don't want any. I said, we'll just take the bill. And she'll smile and she'll say, well, somebody got your bill. I said, really? Yeah, somebody paid your bill. And sometimes I don't even know who it is. They're sneaky. They're out before I can even see who it is. And that's happened oh so many times. Now, don't you think that I would be a fool to sit there and argue with that waitress and say, no, I'm paying the bill. Oh, but sir, you don't have to. Somebody else did. No, you don't understand. I'm paying that bill. But sir, it's paid. I don't care. I'm paying it. She'd look at me and say, well, I'm not going to take your money. I don't want your credit card. You just leave. It's been paid for. I'd be a nut to stand there and argue with her over that. Don't you think? And yet how many of us look at God in a defiant manner and say, I'm going to earn my own way to heaven, thank you. No, you're not. The price has already been paid. There's nothing left for you to do. You cannot add to what Jesus did. That's why he said, it is finished. The Greek word there is teleos, and it simply means done. It's done. Nothing else can be done by us. The sin debt has been paid. And here's the neat thing, folks. One of these days, when I die, when you die, if you know Christ, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to stand before the throne of God. And God's going to look down at us. And we're going to have our head bowed. We're going to say, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry for all the sin. I'm so sorry. And God's going, what sin? What sin are you talking about? I don't remember you ever committing any sin. Oh, Lord, yeah, I did. No. Your sin's all under the blood. All under the blood. You're good. Don't you want to hear God say that to you? Hey, you're good.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. You're good. How about you, my friend? Are you good? Is your sin under the blood? It was there that sin was paid for. Won't you trust him this morning? Bow your heads with me, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Father in heaven, you know our needs today. Oh, better than we know ourselves, you know our needs. And Father, I cannot look into the heart of every person here to see if they're saved or not. I cannot do that, but Father, you can. And so I pray that you will look into the heart of every person. And Father, if there's someone here today who is not 100% sure they're saved, may they get this matter settled this morning. Just get it settled. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Let me ask you a personal question. How many of you will say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved." Would you lift your hand and testify that you know Christ is your personal Savior? You say, "Preacher, I know in whom I have believed. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved." Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. God bless all of you. Wow, that looked like everybody. But I could have missed someone. So let me just ask this question. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, "Pastor, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm concerned about my soul"? I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I will raise it right now and ask you to remember me in prayer. And I promise you, I will pray for you. Nobody's looking, just you, me, and God. So would you say, "Preacher, pray for me"? Lift your hand right now and let me pray and ask God to help you this morning. Would you do that? "Pastor, pray for me. I'm just not sure that if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. Pray for me." Anybody like that? Say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else, but I'll raise it right now and just ask you to remember me in prayer." Anybody? All right. Father, you know our hearts this morning. And the gospel has been given. I just pray now that you'll use it. And if there's someone that needs to be saved this morning, I pray that they will not reject the Savior. So, Father, bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.